Second John, there's only one chapter, so it's verses 1 through 13. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read. And we're going to read one whole entire book this morning. It says this, "The elder to the chosen, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings." There you go, the whole book of the Bible. We only got 65 more to go. And let's go to God in prayer here this morning. Father, as we just dig into the truths, there's that word again, the truths that are found in this small little epistle. Father, there are things here that we may not have ever heard before, or heard preached about, or even thought about. So, Father, this morning, open up some hearts, open up some minds here this morning. Whichever one of us needs to learn some new truths about what this little epistle that was inspired by your Holy Spirit needs to teach us here today. Because we want to learn, we want to grow, we want to be Christ-like, we want to do the right things, the things that are holy and pleasing to you. So, Father, guide our minds here this morning. To you be the praise, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. 2 John. Today, we're going to embark on a new journey that we're going to undertake throughout this whole year, 2019. It's a journey to read the entire New Testament under a daily reading program. And then each Sunday, what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach on a different portion of Scripture that we had just read throughout that past week. Now, we've done this twice before. We've done it in 2012. We did it in 2014. And I enjoyed it so much, we're going to do it again here in 2019. Well, this past week, we ended the last 2 days of 2018 by reading 2 John and 3 John. And then on Wednesday, January the 1st, we began reading in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through Matthew 5:37. And needless to say, I certainly want to be led by God as to what we all are to learn from our weekly reading and what it is that I need to preach on for this coming Sunday. Not only what do I need to hear, what do we all need to hear? What do we all need to learn from our daily reading? So I want to be led by the Spirit on that. So hopefully I've been led by the Spirit on everything that I've preached, but certainly for the next 51 Sundays, I'm going to look at our daily reading and say, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? Well, since it's a new year, I think it's always important to start on a firm foundation. So there can't be any more of a firmer foundation than one word that's so near and dear to me, and that is the word truth. You know me. That's good. It's the word truth. And specifically, today we're going to talk about what truth must do. Okay? What truth must do. In today's reading, the Apostle John writes to a chosen lady, or the lady elect, whichever translation your Bible says, and we know that she's saved. She's saved by the grace of God and her children. So he's writing this letter to a lady and her children. And he opens the letter by saying these three things about truth, about the lady. He says he loves her in truth. And then he says this, I write this for the sake of the truth. And then the third thing he says, he writes it because he knows that she and her children are walking in the truth. And then he begins, and that's throughout about the first six verses. And then he begins in verse number seven, and he says pretty much this, and I'm going to paraphrase. Okay, chosen lady, now that you know the truth, your children know the truth, what are you going to do with that truth? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to walk in the truth? What is the truth going to do in your life? Most of you know I am a fanatic about truth. If there was one thing that ever bothered me as in my years, as Gail and I, as we were parenting our children, they could do a lot of things wrong, and they did a lot of things wrong. But the one thing that bothered me the most is when they did what? They told lies. Oh, I couldn't stand it when they told lies. It's actually, truth is the name of my ministry here at Beech Grove Church. The truth matters. If you see it on the front of your bulletin every Sunday, and underneath that it says it's a teaching ministry. The truth does matter. It always will matter. I love the fact that I have the opportunity to read and to learn and to teach and to preach from this book that I will say contains absolute truth. Amen? If it didn't, let's just read the newspaper and gather together and talk about how bad our country is. But we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about the truth. Did you know that my first official sermon series that I ever preached here, I started January 28th, 2008, that's when you officially made me your pastor here at Beech Grove Church. And I did a five-week sermon series, and the name of that sermon series was The Truth Matters. In January of 2013, 5 years later, I did a follow-up to that, and the name of that sermon series was The Truth Still Matters. And here we are 6 years later, and for me, nothing has changed because the truth still matters. And it always will. Nothing has changed, and neither has the world out there. In today's undiscerning world, truth has now become relative. Truth is now subjective and not objective. Everyone out there now has their own truth. A few things I like to say about that. Just because we read something outside of here does not make that the truth. Just because we hear something outside of here does not make that the truth. And just because we believe something outside of here does not make that the truth. And our news media networks, and I'm sure you know this, so I'm not telling you anything new, are more today about opinion than what they are about just stating the facts. And it goes from this extreme over to this extreme. Whatever happened to Walter Cronkite? And that's the way it is. He just gave the news, never an opinion. People's opinions are trying to sway us into what they want us to believe is the truth. So the question has to be, is there really truth out there any longer? And the answer to that is, oh, yes, there is. And it is found, as we know, right here in the Word of God. And the Word of God, the absolute truth, has a few things to say about itself. It has a lot to say about truth. So let's look at the three things. Well, I think we got like four fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin. Let's look at the first one. We're going to go through these real briefly, and then we're going to get really dive into today's lessons. What are the three things that we know truth does? Number one, our first fill-in-the-blank, the truth will divide. We talked about this at length in Sunday school. Jesus says this, I did not come to bring peace, he says in these verses right here. I did not come to bring peace, I come to bring division. And that's exactly what truth will do. It will divide. It will divide the wheat from the tares. It'll divide the saved from the unsaved. It'll divide the blind from those who can see. It will divide people. That's what truth does. It doesn't take any other help from anything else to do this. Truth does this all by itself. What's the second thing truth will do? And all these are words from Jesus. The first one from Luke 12 is the words of Jesus. This is the words of Jesus. The second thing, the truth will hold people accountable. In John chapter 3, Jesus is having a conversation with one of the Israel leaders. His name is Nicodemus. And he goes on and tells him the famous line, John 3:16. He tells him that. But then a little bit later on, in 19 through 21, he says this, people don't want to step into the light. Because if they go into the light, their deeds will be what? Exposed. That's why they love darkness. Because in the darkness, no one sees what they are doing except them. So they can hide it. If they go into the light, they now become accountable. People don't want to become accountable. But the truth will hold people accountable. And then our third one, and if you don't get this, because there's three words and it begins with S-Y-F, the truth will do what? Set you free. Again, the words of Jesus in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. It will set you free. It's just like this burden has been lifted off of your shoulders when you learn and understand what the truth is going to do in your life. And Jesus says this later on, I believe it's in verse 42. He says, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Thank you for that. So those are the three things, according to the words of Jesus, that truth will do. But truth does not need any help to make this happen. Truth will do this all by itself. And the Bible assures us these are three things that it will do. But in today's reading from 2 John, the Apostle John is not reassuring this elect lady what truth will do. He doesn't say anything about these three things. He is taking her to task and her believing children at what truth must do. We know what it will do, but what it must do. And what exactly is it that truth must do in the life of this lady and in our lives too? And that leads us to our fourth and final fill in the blank. Very simple. The truth must take a stand. It must take a stand. We know what the truth will do, the first three. That is what it will do. Truth will do these things without our participation. And I repeated that. But what is going to be our response to those truths that we hold so near and dear to us? So the first question is this. Do we hold these truths near and dear to us? And if we do, then the answer is going to be this. We must take a stand for those truths. The truths that we learn, the truths that we understand, the truths that we find here in God's Word. The truth must take a stand. That's not what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with the church. That's what's wrong with the church. Church denominations, church affiliations, church people. Church people, Christians, no longer take a stand for the truth. But we will, and we do here at Beech Grove Church. Again, we don't expect the world to act like us. But we expect the church to act like people who will take a stand for what we hold near and dear to us, and that's the truth. And there's many truths that we need to take a stand for, and today I'm only going to talk about one, and one only, that the Apostle John makes known to this elect lady, who we have no idea who she is, and her children. And we find that answer in verses 7 through 11. And it concerns false teachers. One of my favorite topics. A little background. The early church, this whole thing called Christianity, this thing called the church, we know exploded on Pentecost Sunday. That's when it started. And churches and people are getting saved left and right. Churches are getting planted in different cities and places. But as when truth is trying to proliferate, guess what else is going to try to proliferate? False teaching. It's like the tares are trying to grow up with the weed. And the most dangerous false teaching that, let's talk about the Apostle Paul first. The most dangerous false teaching that he had to battle was salvation by works. It seemed like a lot of his churches, they just didn't get it, especially like the Galatians. They wanted to work for their salvation. And Paul said, hey, you have been saved by grace through faith. You can't contribute to it. It's nothing that you do. You can't work for it. It's all been done. Where's my cross? Up on the cross. Jesus has done it all. He has paid the price. But that was his battle. His battle was salvation by works. But what was the biggest battle of false teaching by the Apostle John? It was something called, here's a big word, and I don't even have it up there. It's called Gnosticism. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. Why didn't I make a slide and put that up here? I don't know. Gnosticism. What is Gnosticism? Here you go. Ready? Gnosticism is the belief that Jesus Christ was spirit only. And Gnostics and Gnosticism denied his humanity. So we would say as Christians that Jesus was 100% divine, 100% God. He was also 100% physical. He was man, man in the flesh. Gnosticism would not say that. Gnosticism would say he was spirit only. He was never in physical form. Gnosticism went as far as saying this. That was somebody else hanging up there on the cross. That wasn't Jesus, because Jesus really never had a physical body. Gnosticism also says this, and maybe this might sound familiar. They claim elevated knowledge. It's a higher truth that it's only known and it's only understood by certain people who have this ability to know and understand these higher truths. So it would be, for instance, if I was a Gnostic, I could come in here and say this. Here's what I understand, and I know you don't, because you see, I'm up here and you're not, you're down here. That's kind of what Gnosticism said. It kind of belittled the people and said that you don't understand as much as we do. So let us tell you the truth. And this was the battle that John had. Gnosticism was alive and well and very prevalent in those days. People going from house to house as the truth was proliferating. The false gospels were proliferating too. These purveyors of Gnosticism were undermining the true and saving and simple gospel message. And in doing so, they were leading people down a path of destruction. Ooh, not a good place to go. God's not happy with people who lead other people down a path of destruction. And here in this epistle, here's where it gets kind of tough. You say, well, this is some pretty tough teaching. What is John instructing this elect lady to do? Do not even entertain such people in your household. Do not welcome them. Do not even give them a greeting. He tells her in verse 10, he says this, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching mean the real, the true teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. And then in verse 11, he gives her a warning just in case that thought might be going through her mind. He says this, for the one who gives him a greedy participates in their evil deeds. Ooh. So in other words, elect lady, if you let a Gnostic into your house, you're just as bad as that Gnostic. You contribute to their evil deeds. So to sum this up, what's he telling this lady? Listen, lady, you know the truth. The truth abides in you. And there are truth. There are times, lady, when the truth must take a stand. And you must take a stand against false teachers, those who preach and teach a false gospel. Do not open the door to your house and let them in. Don't do that. Well, you might be sitting there thinking right now, no, wait a second, Mike, wait a second. Aren't we Christians? And aren't we supposed to be hospitable to others, to all people of all races and all religions? Aren't we to clothe the naked, and aren't we to let strangers in? That's what it says in Matthew chapter 25. No, we're not. We're not. If the intentions of a person or group of people are to proliferate a false and damning gospel, I think this is another fill in the blank. We who know the truth are to show no hospitality to them. None whatsoever. Well, Mike, that's pretty radical. And it actually sounds rather anti-Christian. No, it sounds biblical. It sounds biblical. And it is a truth on which we must take a stand. So how do we look at this in the light of today's society? Answer, when those groups of individuals who proliferate a false gospel, who come door to door, such as the Mormons, such as the Jehovah Witnesses, when they come on knocking on your door, you do not entertain them. You do not let them in. You send them away. They are proliferating a false gospel. They got the wrong Jesus. They got the wrong God. But let's take it from door to door for those groups of people, and let's bring this to light. What about other avenues of false teaching? Do we have books on our end tables that are written by false teachers proliferating a false gospel? Do we have CDs and do we have DVDs that we watch and that we listen to that are authored by false teachers? Do we turn on our TVs and invite those TV preachers and TV evangelists into our house who are not speaking the true word of God, but instead are speaking only what our carnal and itching ears want to hear? And some of these people on TV are no more than just purely motivational speakers who are using this for their own financial lust. And you know who they are. So, it's not just the door-to-door people. Well, let's face it, that's all they had back then because gospels were being proliferated, the true ones and the false ones. But what do we have today that could infiltrate our houses? We have books, we have tapes, we have CDs, we have TV, we have YouTube, and we have the internet. There are many ways that false teachers are trying to get into my house and into yours, and sometimes that false teacher is just a click away. And the Apostle John is saying this, that if we know the truth and the truth abides in us and that we are walking in the truth, then there are times when that truth must take a stand. And some of those stands is that we will not tolerate or even be hospitable, for as difficult as that might sound, to anyone in any media form who speaks a message contrary to the truth that we know from the Word of God in a false gospel that will lead anybody down a path of destruction. Now, I want to clarify one thing. We all have friends and we all have family that we know might have disagreements of some sort about some biblical issue. We all do. We all have friends that fall into that category. Well, Mike, does that mean we don't invite them into our house no more? No, that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying this. When they purposely try to come into your house and purposely try to sway you from the truth that you already know, that's the time when you show them the door and say, see you later, because I don't want to hear this in my house any longer. Because you need to take a stand for what happens within your household. And in this case, I'm specifically talking to you guys out there, because we are the spiritual leaders of our households. Amen? Amen. Yes, we are. If I didn't let people into my house, anybody who disagreed with people that on different biblical issues, I'd have no visitors, ever, at all. And probably you wouldn't either. Because we all disagree on this, or this, or this, or this, or this. But when it's a false gospel message, a damning gospel message, we got to take a stand, my friends. We can't let them in. If that's their intentions, if their intentions are to come into your house, my house, and speak something that is contrary to the Word of God as we know it and the saving message of Jesus Christ, don't even give them the time of day. So now we know what truth will do. And now we know one thing, one of many things that truth must do. Truth must take a stand for itself. And who's going to do that? Well, it's not going to do it by itself. We have to take that stand. Only Christians can take that stand for the truth. Again, many things that we need to stand for. We need to stand up for Jesus, right? We just sang that. So the question that I'm going to just put in all of our hearts here this morning is going to be a very simple question. Will we take a stand for the truth? The way that he has instructed this lady to take a stand for the truth. I hope we all do. Let's go to God in prayer.